Chag Sameach, everyone. Shana Tova. I want to welcome everyone to Mekor services this year, and particularly thank everyone who signed up as Mekor members. This has been a challenging year for shuls everywhere, and Mekor was no exception. At times, things looked bleak, but the heartfelt support of you, the Mekor family, made a tremendous difference. Of course, financial support helps pay the bills, but even more significant is the spiritual and emotional support and inspiration we receive from each other in our amazing community. Every year, reporters, rabbis, and other observers ask me what issue I'll address in my sermon on Rosh Hashanah, expecting me to say that I plan to advance some political or social agenda. But my response is always the same. My sermon on Rosh Hashanah will be about Rosh Hashanah. I see this holiday as a precious opportunity that none of us should miss. Because of this, I do something I generally don't do. I give unsolicited advice. After all, I want to make sure you get your money's worth at Mekor. Today, I'll share advice my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zecher Tzadik Livracha, felt was so important that he offered it every year in Rosh Hashanah. Based on the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah, he told us that before we go into Rosh Hashanah, we should have in mind to regret all the bad things we've done. Because even if that won't help us avoid repercussions, at least God won't count those deeds when he sizes us up. As an aside, this happens to be one of the few times I disagree with my Rosh Yeshiva, because I think that the Rambam's words teach that sincere regret will also help us avoid repercussions. At any rate, discarding sin is a salient theme on Rosh Hashanah. For example, we don't eat walnuts because they have a similar gematria or numerical value to sin, which may seem like an odd custom, but it symbolizes that we want no involvement with sin on this holiday. Similarly, in Tashlich, we throw away our sins, and breadcrumbs are not necessary. And the Arizal teaches that you may not make even one mention of sin today. I think these prohibitions stem from the inherent nature of Rosh Hashanah, which is the opposite of Yom Kippur, when all we do is focus on our transgressions. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah celebrates the anniversary of God's creation of human beings. This is the day to wipe the slate clean, reset our lives, and recreate ourselves. As I always say, this is the day to think deeply about how you would envision your ideal self, your best version, which would naturally be without sin. In my annual Rosh Hashanah class, I commonly ask, if a genie gave you one wish, what would it be? You might think that's an easy question, but most people have a hard time with it, because life is complicated. Rosh Hashanah is the kind of day for that kind of thinking. It's a day when we should give deep thought to what we want most out of life. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day, because it's a day devoted not to action, but to what goes on in our minds. That's why I always say the Jewish calendar has 7 weeks of consolations, or nechama, which literally means to contemplate your habits of thought. We need those 7 weeks of nechama to prepare. But if you didn't prepare, the Rambam teaches that the shofar in Rosh Hashanah serves as an alarm clock to remind us, carpe diem, seize the day. Get to it now. Our job is to listen to the shofar, think deliberate thoughts of our ideal spiritual and physical accomplishments, and God willing, this will be a year when we'll have incredible level of potential to strive for. In March of this year, Mike Winkelman, a digital artist, made headlines when he sold a piece of digital artwork at Christie's auction house for $69 million. Many people were perplexed and could not comprehend why anyone would pay that kind of money for a digital work of art. Well, Mike grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, where there wasn't much to do. He discovered he had a knack for computers. He also loved creating art, even though he wasn't very good at it. His drawing was crude and childlike. So even though he had poor artistic skills, and he was aware that most artists don't earn much money, he still really loved that art. So he made an ironclad commitment to devote himself to becoming an artist. He pledged to produce at least one work of art every single day, first by drawing and eventually by creating 3D digital art that combined his two passions. And he uploaded every single design to the internet. As time went on, he continually refined his skills and people began to notice. He even acquired his own pseudonym, Beeple. After 13 years of his daily artwork ritual, Beeple had produced 5,000 pieces of art. One day he decided to incorporate all 5,000 images into one digital collage. He put it up for sale at Christie's and hoped for the best, but didn't have major expectations. What he didn't know was that he had a few huge fans around the world who would bid against one another. After an exciting bidding war, a Beeple superfan in India bought his digital masterpiece in the form of an NFT, a non-fungible token, which uses blockchain technology to certify the piece of art as unique, for $69 million. Beeple has since committed to giving away all the money to charitable causes, including assisting other starving artists. The way this story is usually presented, the focus is on whether an NFT is a colossal waste of money. But whatever you think about the issue, Beeple's story teaches a profound lesson. It demonstrates the extraordinary power we have to shape our potential. Beeple decided with a passion, this is who I am, this is how I define myself, and then he made it a reality. That kind of decision, that kind of commitment, is critical for success in life, and the secret to achieving your most lofty aspirations. On Rosh Hashanah, we have an advantage. The shofar can wake us up to finally ask ourselves what vision we have for our lives, physical and spiritual, and prompt us to make a commitment to that vision. In this brief stretch of holiday, we have the seemingly miraculous ability to change our destiny, not based on our previous behavior, but solely through the power of our intention. If we maintain that laser focus on the kind of person we want to become, God will help us to overcome all our deficiencies and enable us to achieve our ultimate potential in the coming year. Chag Sameach and Shana Tovah.